Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley, and I'm the host for this podcast. Welcome back if you are a returning listener, and thank you if you are just now joining us. Take a moment to whatever platform you are on to subscribe, follow, leave me a review. That would be fantastic. My episode today is with Miriam from the Netherlands. And it's just such a great conversation. She has been a caregiver for her husband for 20 years and fell into this role of cook, cleaner, grocery shopping, caregiver. And her husband was in and out of hospitals, and she just took care of him, you know, for all those years. And it wasn't until a social worker asked her a question and Miriam decided she had to answer that question in order to basically save her life. So before we get started with this episode, I would like to ask you to become a podcast ambassador. Go down below and click on the Patreon link. And for $3 a month, you can support this DIY independent podcast. Okay, on to my episode. Well, I am super excited, friends, to have Miriam here today from the Netherlands. She has come all the way from the Netherlands to talk with us. And Tracy has a really, Miriam, Tracy was my former guest. There's the first blooper right there to edit out. Tracy was the guest I had before. Oh, Lord. Okay. Take two, Miriam. I'm so sorry.
Take two.
I just got finished off the interview with Tracy. Oh, that's where Tracy came from. Okay. All right.
This is so fun.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. And okay, so, hey friends, I'm super excited because I have Miriam coming from the Netherlands to talk to us today. And she has this really interesting and I think going to be a powerful story for you listeners. Because a lot of us now are in the same place that Miriam was in as caregivers. So Miriam, please come introduce yourself and just start telling us your story wherever you're comfortable starting.
First of all, thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it. My name is Miriam, like you said, I live in the Netherlands. And more than 20 years ago, I met my lovely husband back in 1998. And we had a tough ride. He was a diabetic. He was on dialysis as of 2001. And in 2003, he had a kidney pancreas transplant. Mm. Not only that, he also had many surgeries. We lost count. Groin rupture, eye surgeries, broke his ankle, and two major kidney transplant surgeries.
Oh my goodness.
So, yes. And, you know, during that time when he was on dialysis and had his kidney pancreas transplant, I was a caregiver. I was the cook. I was the driver. I was the cleaner. I worked full time and I took care of my husband and I burned out. I didn't take good care of myself.
Well, okay. I'm gonna interrupt you for a second. How in the world could you? I mean, I know we're gonna talk about that later, but kudos to you because that, oh my gosh, that's just so much for one person.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
But you know, Stacey, I always say Miriam thought that she was a superhero. Mm-hmm. And superheroes don't get tired. Superheroes can do many things at the same time. I didn't ask for help because I thought, what will they think of me? Maybe they will think I'm weak. Or now that I think back, I said, what was going on? What were you thinking? Why were you thinking like that? But that's how I thought back then. Sorry. So I burned out. And how did they find out? I remember we had a conversation with a social worker, at a hospital after his first major surgery. And the social worker asked my husband, his name is Martin, asked him, how are you doing? And of course he said, well, I'm doing great, finally feeling better. And then she looked at me and she said, Miriam, how are you doing? Stacy, I cried, I sobbed, and I was mad at myself because I didn't want Martin to see me like that. I was the superhero. I was his caregiver and I could do everything. So I was mad at myself, but this question saved me.
Yeah.
When I got home, I looked in the mirror and I said, Miriam, lady, sis, what are you going to do for yourself now? Do you want to keep going on like this? Who's going to take care of Martin if something happens to you? I couldn't get words out. I looked at myself and I said, Miriam, answer me. Do you want to go on like this? And I cried again. But like I said, this question saved me. So while he was recovering in the hospital, I left him and went to my home country where I was born, South America, for 1 week. Mm-hmm. It's a 9-hour flight. And during that flight, I thought of so many things. But I had no choice. It was either that, or I don't even want to think what would have happened to me if I didn't do that. So when I came back, he needed another surgery. Within 3 months, 2 major surgeries. So I was coping with my burnout and I was in fear again. What if his body rejects the organs? Fear, anxiety, coping with my burnout. And said, mm-mm, sis, you will get out of this no matter what. So what I started was taking baby steps like in owning 15 minutes per day, doing breathing techniques. I started asking for help. I started scheduling. I started looking for opportunities. I started doing more self-care because I found out that those 15 minutes could be 20 minutes, could be 25, could be 30 minutes. So it didn't happen overnight, but that's the way I started doing self-care. Because if I could find someone who was willing to drive me to the hospital, I could just enjoy the environment while we were driving. Or those little things, it was just, I just started with little things, but it worked. Asking for help was a huge problem for me because yeah. I have my pride. Uh-huh. But I had no choice. I didn't have a choice. So he was finally feeling better. The quality of his life was much better. So now it was the time for us to enjoy.
Yeah.
So that's why I taught myself a lot of techniques. And I'm happy I did, because in 2012, when Martin was doing better, I was at the office when I had a phone call. Martin called me, you have to call your brother right now. I said, what's wrong? No time to explain, you have to call him now. And I called my brother and he was talking strange. He was, I said, oh my goodness, I hung up. I called 911 here in the Netherlands, it's 112. And my brother called me while he had a stroke.
Oh, goodness.
So, I remember I went to his apartment, the police, firemen, paramedics were there, and the only thing I could think of was, oh my gosh, will he make it? He was 46 years at that time. And the first 2 weeks after his stroke, we were in fear because we simply didn't know if he would make it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was paralyzed on the right side of his body. So months later, I think 3 months later, I felt the exhaustion again. I was tired again. And I was feeling like burnout. I'm on the brink of a burnout. And I said, Miriam, I looked again in the mirror and I said, Lady, sis, what are you going to do for yourself?
Yeah.
And I started using the techniques I taught myself when I burned out the first time. And thankfully, it didn't happen. I promised myself, this will never, ever happen to you again, because burnout, it's a bad place. It's a dark place. It's not a pretty place.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fast forward to today, both of those gentlemen, these gentlemen I love very much, are doing great. My brother, his right arm is still not functioning, but he walks again. He talks again.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's good to hear.
Yes. Yes. And Martin is doing great as well. Good. They still need help because of their medical issues they have. But I'm still a caregiver, but it's different. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard anymore like it was before. But yeah. I'm still a caregiver.
Yeah.
And I started writing a book about my caregiver's journey. And because I know there's, you know, some people don't even realize that they are caregivers. And I will do my best to help fellow caregivers to prevent them from burning out.
Yeah.
By sharing tips, by, you know, it's especially now during the pandemic, the isolation, they feel alone, and it's a crazy time now.
Yeah, that's got to make it so much worse, because you can't necessarily like have people coming in or whatever. I got some questions for you as you were talking.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking. I know this is looking back to the past, but what do you think would have happened if that social worker had not asked you that question? If she had not said to you, that's a very important question.
I think I would be so depressed.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be so depressed. And the result of that would be that I simply couldn't take care of my husband.
Yeah.
At that time, we weren't married yet. We married 2 years later.
Yeah.
But I don't even want to think about it. That it would be awful.
You know, and I bring that up because, you know, it's the what if game and we never know, but I bring that up because if you are listening and you know someone who is in a role that Miriam was, ask them that question. How are you doing? Yeah. And like, you know, make them answer you or give them this interview and let them, you know, follow Miriam's tips. I think your tips are super, super good, starting with just small things like 10, 15 minutes a day, which then stretch into longer things. But
you will want more.
Yeah, but you know, I know you've heard this, but it's so hard for women in particular to ask for help or to feel that they can take that time. It's just these bad habits we've developed.
It's I know exactly what you're talking about. When Martin was home after surgery, and I was thinking to take a nice long hot shower, 15, 20 minutes, I couldn't enjoy it because I felt guilty.
Yeah.
So 95% of my time I spent on taking care of him. And when I finally had time, 5% for me, for Miriam, I couldn't enjoy it because I felt guilty. I was taking a shower and then I would think, what is he doing downstairs? Is he okay? Yeah. It's you know, it's not necessary. You have the right to enjoy your me time. You should own it. Your well-being. So I had to learn to let it go and trust, how should I say this, trust the process, trust the fact that he was doing okay.
Yeah.
And try to enjoy, because it gave me a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to control everything, and you can't control everything.
Yeah.
So what also helped me was meditating. I started with meditation in the morning and in the evening. And in the morning, I also started journaling 3 to 5 minutes every day. Only 3 to 5 minutes. And people ask me, what are you writing about? Whatever comes to my mind. And if nothing comes to my mind, I say, oh, I can't think of anything. That rarely happens, because there's always something going on in my mind. And I was so amazed to see how many great ideas I got from just journaling.
Yeah.
And I told myself, when you wake up in the morning, I want you to think of something positive. One thing, only one. Only positive things. So I used two affirmations. Two affirmations. I am worthy of a wonderful life too, is my favorite one. And I ask, believe, and I receive. Those two. I write them on sticky notes, and I put them in places where I can see them.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've hit on two really important things that you may not even have realized at the time that you were doing this, but starting with those baby steps, you know, like the 3 minutes, the 5 minutes, those are the things, daily actions that get you to a bigger habit down the road where you are now, where you can say, I'm going to take 20 minutes for myself, and I am A-okay with that. I think people think that, and you have more experience with this than I do, but I think people think, I have to take a half a day off from caregiving and go do these things. That's what it looks like to them, instead of doing what you did. Because, you know, I can't imagine like caring for someone for a long time and thinking, well, I'm just going to take half a day off. That's just, talk about anxiety ridden, right?
Yeah. You know, when I wanted to have a half day off or just an hour, I asked my mom-in-law to cook for us, or my sister to cook for us, even the neighbors. Mm-hmm. But I also asked medical professionals for help. How can I do this so I can save time? Or how can I do this and make sure that he will be okay and save time? I remember at a certain point, because he broke his ankle, he has a spot under his foot. Because of diabetes, he has neuropathy. So he can walk with a pin in his foot without feeling anything. So he has a spot under his foot, and an ulcer. Is it called an ulcer? I think it's called an ulcer. It was almost an inch deep, all the way up to his bone. And we went to the hospital and they cleaned it, but it had to be cleaned every day. It's a 50-minute drive to the hospital, one way. So I thought, okay, I need help with this. Can you please teach me or show me how I can clean it myself, and what do I need to clean it? That saved me a trip, 50-minute trip to go to the hospital and 50 minutes back home every single day.
Yeah.
So that's something I teach fellow caregivers as well. It's not only help from family or friends, it's also help from medical professionals.
Yeah, it's a good
or tip. Or even a neighbor. Yeah. Or especially now, if you don't want to go to the supermarket, maybe there's a way to get your food delivered. Mm-hmm. So it will save you some time. So you can spend that time on yourself and do some self-care. Self-care, when you say self-care, people always or often think about a day in the spa.
Right,
as much as I would.
Yeah.
Even I can do it.
Yeah.
But even every week. But Getting your nails done, getting your hair done. When I'm at my brother's and I want to have some me time, sometimes I listen to an audiobook while I'm vacuuming his apartment. It's 15 minutes, but it's my time. And if Martin, for instance, says or asks me, Miriam, can you help me with this and this? And I have scheduled that time for myself, Stacy. Now I am able to say, hun, it's my time now, but I can help you later.
Oh my gosh, that is fantastic. How many women would love to get to that point? Seriously. That is, well, yeah. Drop the mic, Miriam. That's good, yeah.
I own my well-being. Oh. I own it and he knows it. And, you know, he says, hon, no problem. Then we can do it later. Mm-hmm. No problem at all. And that goes also for my brother. If he asks me something, sis, can you please help me with something? He lives 20 miles away from us. And I've scheduled that time for myself. If it's not urgent, I tell him, hey, bro, listen, I can help you, but later.
Yeah. Your ability to develop those habits over the years has also helped you develop some really healthy boundaries that other people respect.
Yeah.
Which is, I just, awesome. Good for you. I am in awe of this because I don't know many women that can say, sorry, hun, but this is my time.
Yeah.
We just don't do that.
I learned to own it.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I've been
chills.
I've been in that dark place, and because I was able to pull myself out of that place on my own, I always tell people I now have the privilege and the pleasure to help caregivers,
mm-hmm.
owning their well-being.
Yeah,
setting boundaries.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit before our time is up. So. How do you help caregivers? What do you do specifically?
This is a funny story. A couple of months ago, back in August 2020, I met a friend online. We met back in 2019, and we tried for months to plan a meet and greet via Zoom. And finally in August, beginning of August, we had our Zoom event. Who's Miriam and who's she? And we started talking. I said, hey, tell me a bit about you. And she told me about her. And she said, okay, who's Miriam? I said, well, Miriam. And I told her my story. And I was so busy talking to her. And when I looked at the screen, I saw that she was in tears when I told her my story. And I said, oh my gosh, I do apologize because it wasn't my intention to make you cry. Maybe I should write a book. And she said,
make more people cry with your book.
And she said, that's exactly what I wanted to ask you. Why don't you write a book? You can help people with your book.
Yeah.
I said, no, me, Miriam, writing a book? No, you're kidding. She said, think about it. I'm a writing coach and I would be honored to help you with this book.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, August 22, I started writing my book about my caregiver's journey. And one thing led to the other, and I said, okay, I owned a web shop. I closed that web shop in 2019. At that time, I didn't know what I wanted to do. The only thing I knew is that I would love to continue work with people and help people, but I didn't know what. And I started writing all my content for the book, and I discovered that the content could help fellow caregivers. So caregiver 2.0, it popped up out of my pain.
Oh.
It's a 6-week live online program with all the nuggets and tips that I taught myself.
Yeah.
And that's how I help fellow caregivers.
Well, you just have such a wealth of knowledge that you have developed on your own, pretty much. I mean, these are things that you have done that actually work. So do you have a website for your
yes
caregiver? Okay.
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay. We can
www.miriambaldwin.com.
Okay.
It's
okay.
My name, my first name, last name.com.
Okay. Okay. We'll drop all that stuff down in the show notes below for our listeners. And before we go, and you've touched on this briefly, but what is one thing that someone listening now who is thinking, oh my gosh, Miriam, this is my story. What's one small thing they can do right now to start taking care of themselves?
Right now, go to the mirror, look at yourself, take a deep breath, and ask yourself the question, what are you going to do for yourself now? If your name is Stacy, Stacy, what are you going to do for yourself now?
Yeah.
And answer yourself within 10 seconds. It's going to be hard, but you can do it.
And I think that, yes, I think that that's brilliant, because we can ask that question all day, but we have to answer it. We have to answer it. We just can't
within
say,
10 seconds.
Yeah, we just can't ask ourselves the question and then move on. So awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, you just have an amazing, amazing story. And like I was saying before we got started, you just look lovely. You've just got this glow about you. You've got like this real happiness. So I would never guess that you have spent a lot of years burnt out, but whatever you're doing seems to be working for you.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy that
I sometimes I do have to get reminded again.
Yeah.
Miriam, step back and take some extra self-care moments, you know, because I'm so excited to help because I've been there and I do want to help. But you know, I have to take care of myself, my husband, mm-hmm. my brother.
Yeah.
There are three people involved. And of course, I do have my family and support system. But it's so important. Sometimes they think it's selfish. No, it's not. No, I even ask them, do you know, name me one hospital in the world that offers 24/7 help. Is there one hospital in the world where you have a nurse on your bedside 24/7?
Yeah.
Name me one. There's none. Why do we expect? Why do we want to do it? Why?
It's a great question, great conversation, and I absolutely loved it. And I think too, even if you're not a caregiver, this was a really great conversation for those of us who don't take care of ourselves, period, for whatever reason. So thank you so much, Miriam. Lovely conversation. Loved it. I'm going to drop all of Miriam's information down below in the show notes. So thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the time
you
spent with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Okay, friends, have a great day.